This is DC Berman, and I'm happy to say hi to you out there on Radio FSK 93.0 FM.
Ja, das war DC Berman von den Silver Jews. Und das gerade waren auch die Silver Jews mit dem Stück Horseleg. Swastikas von ihrem neuen Album Bright Fly. Das ist das vierte, welches die Silver Jews gemacht haben, welches auch brandneu sozusagen ist. Und wir haben damals vor 3 Jahren David Berman mal getroffen zum Interview, als die letzte Platte damals rauskam, American Water hieß die. Haben das Interview dann aber nie gesendet, weil wir eigentlich immer dachten, er würde auf Tour kommen, hätten das dann ganz gerne zur Tour gemacht, so als kleinen Teaser. Aber die Tour kam nicht zustande und das Interview ist dann irgendwann in Vergessenheit geraten und war auch nicht mehr irgendwann aktuell. Aber jetzt haben wir es wieder ausgegraben, das wird also das erste Mal jetzt auch gesendet und hat eigentlich von der Thematik her, vom Inhalt her, ist es immer noch aktuell, mehr oder weniger. Ja, Silver Jews, das ist im Prinzip David Berman und er hat englische Literatur studiert, unter anderem auch, um sein Land so ein bisschen besser zu verstehen. Hört selbst.
Take a lifetime to understand my country and it would take a couple lifetimes. Not because the ideas you're working with are so complex, it's because there's just so much information to be taken in and there's so much variety. And so many contradictions and sort of just hidden wells of knowledge that you just sort of trip onto every once in a while and lead you down a path. And no, the whole totality is complex, but no individual part is. Mm-hmm. It's all actually nice in that sense that everything is really naked.
Ja, also irgendwie ist es die Komplexität, die ihn da zu schaffen macht von so einer ganzen Nation. Und Frage als nächstes, ob denn das Studium der Literatur auch sein Songwriting beeinflusst hat.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it made me want to elevate, like, what songs are or what songs were available to me. It made me want to... it made me want to have an analog in music for what I can find in literature that I don't find very much in music. Mm-hmm. That even, you know, supposedly the most literary of musicians, you know, like Dylan or Lou Reed or Leonard Cohen, and I think they obviously are great songwriters, I still feel like there's still so much to be said and so much territory just because... People don't seem to be interested in expanding the possibilities of content for a pop song. They seem to be very comfortable with the limited parameters, and I think it can be so many, 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 many things, an infinite amount of things. And I really don't understand when people tell me, you know, music is finished, or painting is finished, or the novel is finished. I mean, I can even accept arguments for painting in the novel, but I really can't accept it for pop music because it's really limited itself, you know, for a long time, and there's endless territory to be covered. It's really done a bad job compared to other art forms as far as covering a lot of territory.
Ja, also Lou Reed, Bob Dylan und Leonard Cohen sind wohl ganz große Vorbilder für David Berman und er ist der Meinung, dass in der Popmusik, also in den Lyrics noch lange nicht alles gesagt worden ist, sondern dass da noch ganz, ganz viel Nachholbedarf besteht, mehr oder weniger. Nebenbei ist er auch noch ein Schriftsteller für Gedichte und er zeichnet auch noch.
Yeah, in fact I have a book coming out in March or April. It's a book of poems called Actual Air, and it's coming out on a press called Open City in New York City. It doesn't have anything to do with Drag City, the label we're on. It's just coincidentally, it's called Open City. But so, in a book of drawings in the fall on Drag City, because now Drag City does books. But I didn't want to give my book a poems because I didn't want it to be seen like a musician's book and not taken seriously. I want it, like it's not going to say Silver Jews or anything on it. I want it to be taken for what it is, a book of poems, not a book of poems by a musician, because then I think people sort of look at it as a hobby or something, and it's important to me.
Ja, er hat also ein Buch veröffentlicht mit Gedichten und auch ein Buch mit Zeichnungen. Das zumindest der Stand von vor 3 Jahren. Kann gut sein, dass es inzwischen neue Sachen gibt. Einfach mal im Netz gucken, wenn ihr da Interesse habt. Ich denke mal, sicherlich ganz nett, solche Sachen mal von ihm auch zu lesen. Hat er dann immer schon die Intention gehabt, wo er so Sachen geschrieben hat, die zu veröffentlichen?
I just waited around for years until someone asked me to do it. I really have a fear of rejection, so I would never send it to anybody. But the people who asked me to do it are really have their shit together, and they're, I guess, pretty well connected in the literary world. And you know, my biggest fear is that it would get buried, you know, like a lot of poetry does. But it seems like they do a really, really good job of getting it reviewed. And people just don't read poetry anymore, so. I mean, you really have to do a good job as far as like getting it out to people, because people aren't going to come after it. And there's probably more bad poetry as a percentage of all poetry than there is bad music as a percentage of all music or both. So it's harder to find the good stuff. But when you do, it's like pure pleasure, because it can do something that no other art form can do, and incredibly powerfully. So one good thing will be that people who maybe just buy the book because they know the music will read poetry for the first time, or read some poetry that they might like or think is funny or is not so uptight or something, and that maybe this will be, that's exciting to me, that it could be an introduction to some people.
Smoke. Well, you can't say that my soul has died away. No, you can't say that my soul has died away. Oh, well, there's trouble in the hall, and trouble upstairs, and trouble.
Trapped inside the song, trapped inside the song, trapped inside the song.
Silver Juice waren das mit dem Song Ocean und der Track kam von ihrer ersten LP Starlight Walker, die ist aus dem Jahre 94, hat also schon so ein paar Jährchen auf dem Buckel. Und wenn ihr gerade noch im Hintergrundgesang gehört habt, das war Steve Malkmus, den kennt ihr von Pavement. Und ja, diese erste Platte damals hat er mit Steve Malkmus zusammen aufgenommen, dann hieß es immer so, das sei ein Pavement-Nebenprojekt, was natürlich total verkehrt ist, hat er die zweite Platte alleine aufgenommen mit anderen Leuten, dann die dritte, American Water, wieder mit Steve Malkmus. Und da hat man ihn dann zum Interview getroffen und er hatte erzählt, dass er mit seiner langjährigen Beziehung damals Schluss gemacht hatte oder sie mit ihm, wie auch immer. Und Frage von uns, ob das denn auch Einfluss auf die Platte hatte.
Yeah, in a way, because I was like, I left home and I didn't have like this bedrock, you know, and so I was sort of like in a free fall. You know, I was sort of like just sort of drifting through cities and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, without the comforts of home and sort of and finding it exciting, not despairing and throwing myself at other people and stuff. And to the point where I felt like the record sounded more, in the end, more extroverted and like more populated, more social. Not so closed off. Some of the other records sound like transmissions from isolation, and this one doesn't sound that way to me.
Also auf American Water hat er sich so ein bisschen geöffnet, so vom musikalischen Stil her, das stimmt auch, ist nicht mehr so introvertiert. Und ja, Silver Juice sind nicht gerade berühmt für viele Live-Auftritte, sie haben, ich glaube, in 7 Jahren 7 Auftritte absolviert.
7 in 7 years. How's that? We're gonna do a tour diary. You know, sort of like, took a long time to get to the next show. You know, stayed in Dallas for a year. Showed up late. No, it's usually like a special occasion when we play, you know, it's like some strange, like, setup. Either played a show in February in New York, and it was word of mouth, and a lot of people came, and just because maybe they, like, well, this is a special thing, you never get to see this band, and we'd like to hear maybe some of these songs played live, and then totally disappointed everyone by just having 2 amps and 2 guitars, and playing along with a Grateful Dead instrumental CD of Dark Star, and just jamming with the Dead really loud, playing the CD really loud in the club, and then playing the guitars just right on top of the music. And I thought it was hilarious. I saw a review of it in the Time Out New York, and they were like a complete and utter disappointment.
Why don't you play live?
Oh, well, you've got like, do you have 3 hours of tape? I have a million reasons. I'd rather maybe tell you why I decided that I would, and I have decided that I would, and decided that if the music is a gift, like I think it should be, for however many people who want it, I don't think that's an arrogant thing to say, because I know that many people will return that gift, but for the people who do appreciate it, if the music is a gift, then the spirit of generosity shouldn't stop there. And I've said no to so many people for so long, and I hate saying no. And I've said no to the band over and over again. I've said no to the label, and I've said no to the people who write. Mm-hmm. I've said no to the people who come up to me and ask me. And I'm just tired of saying no. And I'm also really into especially since I left home, really into doing the things that I've refused to do, either out of dislike or fear or the many different things. And there's many different things besides playing live, and that I decide that to push through those things as a shortcut to learning really fast. And when I do something that I don't want to do, I usually just have to find a new way to do it. It's usually I just don't like the preset ways of doing it and can't find the value in it. And then I reject the thing itself, which I shouldn't do. I should just reject the method and find a new way to do it. So I plan to find a new way to do a live show so that I feel like it's of more value than what I experience when I go to live shows today, which is just sort of people playing the songs just like they're on the records, and the only sort of added advantage is that you get to see what they look like. You know, there has to be more than that. When people pay money, there has to be more than that. I've been thinking about possibly talking in between the songs, like the band talking, maybe sort of like making it a show, but also kind of like a talk, like you sort of talk about, you know, where that song came up, or, you know, a story around it, or sort of like Ray Davies from the Kinks did, you know, he did with his book, something like that. But it would, when you played, it would really rock. It wouldn't be like a somber, like a lecture or something. But then when you talked, you would really talk. I don't know if people would listen, though. There'd be a lot of, when the talking started happening, I think there'd be a lot of beer glasses clicking and chatter or whatever, but...
Ja, irgendwie hat David Berman sich das dann doch überlegt, mal live zu spielen und auf Tour zu kommen. War, wie gesagt, eigentlich auch geplant. Nur dann ist er ein paar Tage später nach Spanien gegangen, um da ein paar Promo-Interviews zu geben und ist da irgendwie in eine Schlägerei verwickelt worden. Wie genau, warum, weshalb, weiß ich nicht. Auf jeden Fall hat er da einen Hörsturz von getragen und hat wahrscheinlich erstmal die Schnauze voll gehabt von Hin- und Herreisen in Europa im Allgemeinen und dadurch ist dann diese Tour auch nicht zustande gekommen, leider. Die Silver Juice, ist es denn eigentlich eher eine Band oder eher ein Solo-Projekt? Wie sieht David Berman das Ganze eigentlich selbst?
It's been me and whoever for a while, and I think it'll probably stay that way. Although the guy who played bass on this record, Mike Fellows, is someone who's become sort of an important part of the band to me, and I sort of feel like he'll be in the next couple records for sure. But everybody else, it just sort of depends on, I have to wait till all their songs are written and look at the songs and say, well, who should interpret these songs with me, you know? And that really depends a lot on not really how the person plays and how, it depends on like their personality and their charisma and whether they can get inside the songs or not. And so you just have to wait and see what the songs are like and just try and match it up with the good personnel.
Forever and ever, together, forever and ever. execution. We'll hitchhike away from Odessa to Houston. And when they turn on the chair, something's added to the air. When they turn on the chair, something's added to the air. Forever to the air. Forever, Smith and Jones. Forever together.
Die Silver Jews mit Smith & Jones von ihrer dritten Platte American Water, die 98 erschienen und die auch wieder mit Steve Malkmus zusammen aufgenommen worden ist. Frage an David Berman, ob denn Smith & Jones eigentlich reale Personen oder mehr so fiktive Gestalten sind.
They're fictional characters, but it's these kind of two sort of low-level outlaws, you know, like sort of drifters. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of ways, I think when we were recording, it was fun for Steve and I to think of it as that we were Smith and Jones. That's our sort of the attitude we had to take, you know, like, yeah, we sort of get in fights and stuff like that and get back together, so Smith and Jones will always be around. So that may be like a sort of second reading of the song, but it's really, yeah, just two fictional characters. Mm-hmm. Sort of like the kind of guys you see on like a highway off-ramp in the Southwest, like these sort of tramps that are just sort of leathery skin, like all totally tanned with a Willie Nelson bandana and totally reeking of cigarettes and liquor coming out their pores. And
freaks.
Yeah. Freak martyrs.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I always seem to hear a bit of country and western influence out of your music.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
Is it something you grew up with? Or
yeah. Something I grew up with and something, but that, and I rejected it when I was a teenager a lot, you know. It was my parents' music and the larger culture's music, and you know, Black Flag spoke to me more, or, mm-hmm. you know, and or the Germs or something. But I think that when I was in college and after college, I reacquainted myself, and no, it's really important to me. It's a form of music that now, today, I relate to the most as far as speaking to my experience and the issues that it's able to confront because of the nature of the music and how the kind of the music is sort of more of a platform for stories and narratives and stuff. And so I feel pretty close to it. But I don't think that, excuse me, compliments of Yaver, but I don't think that I ever rest with that. Like, I would never do a record of country music. I mean, but though I would say that when I do songs that I don't have any country elements at all, you know, that aren't GCD over and over again, that there's a tempo that is of the country, like of a pace of life or something, like a rock song of a country tempo. So, and we always have the same tempo, sort of. This record, I guess, we got a little fast on a couple ones, maybe for us, not for anyone else, but fast for us. But normally we always have to sort of have this loping sort of, you know, same. And that's the one that I'm comfortable with. It's like 75 degrees to me, you know? It's just like the flat line. Mean temperature, mean tempo.
Ja, Country and Western haben seine Eltern früher gehört und er mochte es nie zugeben, dass er das auch mag als Kind. Auch verständlich, es geht doch eigentlich fast jeden so. Und ja, er meint eigentlich, dass so die Geschwindigkeit der Songs doch sehr so an Country erinnern und ja, irgendwie hat er, glaube ich, auch recht damit. Der Name David Berman klingt ja irgendwie doch relativ europäisch. Wo kommen eigentlich seine Vorfahren her?
No German ancestors. French, Swiss, Russian, Ukrainian. It comes from Ukraine, but it does sound Berman. Berman sounds German. Now, see, that's the thing, is when I was a little kid, my name people, you know, would make fun of you of your name, you know, and rhyme it with things. So because when you're a little kid and like you study World War II or something, and so German is bad, like this is in the 70s or something, so Berman the German, that would make me feel bad or something. Or they would say Sperman Berman, like sperm. This is horrible. The Sperman was much worse than the German. The German didn't hurt that bad.
Tja, also als Kind immer geärgert worden mit dem Namen, kann auch richtig leid tun, der gute David Berman. Das war also das Interview mit ihm, mit den Silver Jews.